Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Have you ever had a pecan pie?
Pecan, yes. Apple, no. And
you've never had apple pie?
No.
I don't like apples! Why would I eat apple pie if I don't like apples? Why? Why? When do you not understand this? What is wrong with you people? Why would I eat it if I don't eat apples?
Well, you know, you mash it up, put it in a pie with a crust and whipped cream on top. I'm in. Maybe a little dab of vanilla ice cream, too. Yahoo!
Why?
This is either the greatest bit in history, the fact that you pretend not to eat these things that are astounding, or you're a walking miracle. And I don't know which one is better.
Remember me when I'm dead, okay?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
How about those Tigers?
Happy
Which
Tuesday.
Ones? Yeah, there were, you know, there was only one time last night where Kirk Herbstreit said something about, you know, nice play by the Tigers, and Chris Fowler's like, which one? You know, you have to clarify which team you're talking about. Happy Tuesday. Yeah, we'll open up a little bit with football last night. I'm Howard. He's Brayton. Jeremy's on his way in, going to be joining us shortly. Did you watch the game last night? Did you watch it? Because you might watch it just because you're a sports fan. It's a national championship game. You know, I don't know how many people in Western New York would have had a rooting interest in a game pitting Louisiana State against Clemson. Maybe you strictly watched it from a draft scouting perspective, trying to see what T. Higgins is all about, or Justin Jefferson. It's a pretty quiet night for Justin Jefferson. I hope you watched it at the very least, because as a sports fan, one of the best things to do this college football season was to watch Joe Burrow at LSU. I got to tell you, I'm glad they won. I mean, I wasn't necessarily rooting for either team. I like Clemson. I like LSU, whatever. I'm very happy at Orgeron won. Dabo Swinney, I like. I think he's a really good head coach. He runs a nice program. They've won titles, so I would probably have said I was leaning more towards LSU. But I got to tell you, I was kind of sad. I'd like to petition the NCAA to see if Joe Burrow can come back for another year. That team was just one of the most enjoyable, entertaining, fun football teams to watch all season. And if you hadn't seen them play, and you heard all the hype about them, right? Joe Burrow, Heisman Trophy, you know, an offense that was averaging, what, close to 50 points a game, just destroying opposition, unbeaten, number one, all this stuff. And then you watched the game last night, and you're watching in the first quarter going, what's the big stink about LSU? They're not that good. They got off to, by their standards, an ice-cold start. It was really interesting to watch, because teams have not done that to LSU. They usually come out, even against the better teams on their schedule, and they open things up pretty early. They get a lead and they put games away. A lot of times their games were over by halftime, if not somewhere in the third quarter. And they came out last night. They had some bad field position, and they weren't able to score, and eventually they got going, and eventually you got to watch Joe Burrow, who was absolutely tremendous. Man, there's so many things he does well. And that's why the beginning of the game, quite honestly, now I'm not going to tell you I watched every snap of LSU football. I didn't. But I watched a whole bunch of their games because, you know, it kind of like, I was trying to think of some of the offenses I might, you know, like you'd watch this game just because of the entertainment factor. Like Chip Kelly's Oregon teams, right, were that way. I was thinking about maybe Baker Mayfield's Oklahoma teams that, you know, these guys get out of bed, they put up 40-something points, and they're going to put the ball in the air. LSU spreads the field out. They go empty set. They've got all these different weapons. It's just for your, you know, entertainment purposes, it's great to watch. And what Clemson did early, these guys had a great plan against them. They're blitzing. They're coming up the middle unblocked. They're putting a lot of pressure on Joe Burrow, and he's uncharacteristically off target because of the many traits in his game, of his many strengths. One of them is poise and accuracy. And he looked like he was a little flustered by what Clemson was throwing at him. And he was off target on some of his throws, which is very unlike Joe Burrow. And then, as the game progressed, they hit a rhythm. They get into that second quarter, and they rip off three straight touchdown drives, and they're long. Some of these are, you know, he had at least one, if not two, 90-plus yard touchdown drives. And just methodically moving down the field with his decision-making, and he's showing that poise now, and he's showing that accuracy, and he's seeing the field well. And, oh, by the way, you know, when you think you know there's enough to deal with in terms of his passing game, then he runs the ball, a designed quarterback draw, scramble, whatever the case may be. He throws some dimes. Like, he has the ability. Again, if you watched it last night, and when they started rolling in the second quarter, you would say, what'd you see? This guy's dropping passes in there just beautifully. Now, they have a ton of weapons. You know, they're wide receivers, all of these guys, not just Justin Jefferson. I mean, Jefferson goes bananas in their semifinal game. I think it was against Oklahoma, right? He had over 200 yards receiving. Last night, it was Ja'Marr Chase had over 200 yards receiving. Randy Moss's kid is their tight end, and he's probably going to be in the pros. And I told you about the running back. How much fun is that kid to watch? Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's so entertaining. Anyway, but watching Burrow, again, without a rooting interest, just as a sports fan, looking at, looking for a good story, right? That's what we do. When we don't have an emotional investment in a game, especially a game like this, not just any Saturday in college football where you happen, Auburn's playing Georgia. All right, I'll watch. A national championship game that you're going to tune in, you want to just be at least entertained or look at, you know, watch someone who you play and you go, wow, that kid's special. And that's Joe Burrow. And what he did when they got rolling in the second quarter, it's funny, you think about this. So they didn't have a great first half, right? Clemson really did a good job in the first quarter. Two, maybe three possessions they didn't score. I forget what it was. And yet you get to halftime and you look at the scoreboard. If you're Clemson, you didn't have a terrible half, but you look at the scoreboard, they got 28 points. And it wasn't even a good half for them. That's how great this kid is. And you saw the whole thing. Like I said, it isn't just touch, but it is accuracy. It's seeing the field. It is decision-making. It's the ability to create plays when he's flushed out of the pocket and not get rattled by the pressure. All that stuff was there. And it was a joy to watch. And, you know, he's going to the pros. He'll be the number one pick in the draft, right? Ohio kid drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals. They're going to be all excited there. But, man, if he could come back for one more year. What they did this year it's really one of the greatest seasons any college football program has had. And there have been national champions who have been unbeaten plenty of times. I mean, Clemson did it. Alabama's done it in recent history. But, man, they torched teams. The best team won. The best team in the best conference who destroyed their opposition more often than not. And I keep thinking about, I forget what week it was towards the end of the season. There was one week in there where LSU wasn't the number one team in the country. I don't remember whether it was Ohio State or whoever the heck it would have been. And I just thought, you're kidding me, right? They look at the teams they beat. This was their seventh win. So they go 15-0. And they have a great defense, too, by the way. It isn't just an offense, and they outscore teams 42-41. They've got a really good defense. That's a really good quarterback and an offense they faced last night and held them to 25. But they beat seven top 10 teams this year. That's phenomenal, right? You know, all the teams they would have faced in the SEC, they crushed Alabama in Alabama. They go into the playoffs, they blow out Oklahoma, and, you know, they end up beating Clemson by 17. You know, so they just rolled the best teams that they played. That's really impressive. And if you look at Joe Burrow, so Joe Burrow ends up with 60 touchdown passes. He had five last night against what had become the program in college football, right? Used to be Alabama. Clemson comes along. And they beat Alabama, and they take that title away from them. They are that, right? Dabo Sweeney and Clemson, top program in the country. And Joe Burrow put up five touchdown passes and threw for 463 yards. It's ridiculous. So anyway, he gets 60 touchdown passes. I was going to make this. It's not my stat of the day. I'll do this as an honorable mention. You might look at it and go, yeah, well, you know, he probably fattened up against some of the lighter weight teams on the schedule. Remember how I mentioned they beat seven top 10 teams? In those seven games, Burrow threw 27 of his 60 touchdown passes. So do the math. That's about 4 touchdown passes a game against a team that was ranked in the top 10 when LSU played them. Very impressive. Now, a couple other things. So one of the, I tuned in to watch Burrow. I tuned in to watch Trevor Lawrence. I tuned in because it's a national championship game. In case you're wondering, I made it to halftime. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't make it through halftime. That was like around 10 o'clock. And quite honestly, when LSU was down 17-7, I did think, I think Clemson can win this game. I mean, they were really frustrating LSU's offense. Then they get on a roll. They get 3 straight touchdown drives. Wasn't exactly Kansas City against Houston with 7 straight drives ending in a touchdown. But you got to halftime, and, I went to bed with the sense that, okay, they're not going to be able to stop Joe Burrow and LSU in the second half. They're not going to outscore Joe Burrow and LSU in the second half, and the Tigers are going to win the game. The purple and gold Tigers. So I went to bed. And then I woke up and I thought, oh, yep, okay, they won 42-25. Got it. I did also tune in to watch T. Higgins and Justin Jefferson. I think those are two names that we're going to be talking about a lot over the next few months as we work our way towards the NFL draft towards the end of April. We're going to be focusing in on the class of wide receivers. I would think you would bet on either a wide receiver or an edge rusher with the first Bills pick at 22, assuming they don't trade up or down out of that slot. So we're going to be talking a lot about wide receivers. And, you know, it's not easy to glean something about a guy. You know, you can't watch every route. You know, it's not an all 22 look, so you can only see so much before they're off the TV screen. But Higgins was a little more active last night than Jefferson. Again, I'm only telling you the first half because I went snooze land at halftime. Higgins, they tried to target, and I thought actually the coverage on him was pretty good. But he looked like he's typically lined up on the outside. He's a big target. He can get downfield. He can run the vertical route. I think he's got the size where you can throw him the ball and he can make a contested catch. The best play he made last night in the game, the part of the game that I saw, was a reverse for a touchdown. Really well executed, nicely done. Nice play by Higgins, who broke a tackle at the 10 and bounced off a tackle attempt at the 5 and powered his way into the end zone. That was his biggest play in the first half last night. For Jefferson, again, it was a quiet night for him. I don't know what he ended up with. I'll have to check the stats. But he didn't get a lot in the first half. Typically, he was lined up inside in a 4 receiver or sometimes an empty set when they put the running back out there. He was typically inside and work in the middle of the field. They eventually got him a couple of catches at least 2 catches in the second quarter. He was able to get free from some coverage over the middle, but not a huge night for him. Certainly not like what happened against Oklahoma. So just if you watch that game, just to look at both guys, my guess is you were taken more by T. Higgins, who was a little bit more involved in their offense than Justin Jefferson and LSU's offense. But again, keep in mind with LSU, they have a multitude of weapons. And Joe Burrow is very good at distributing the ball and putting it all over the place. I hope you took note of their running back. And I couldn't even tell you if the kids draft eligible. Like, hey, the Bills should get a guy like that. But Edwards-Helaire, talk about, again, just from a standpoint of a sports fan wanting to be entertained, this kid is something, too. He is not the biggest running back in the world. I don't even know what they list him at, but he's short, okay? He's not a big running back. But, man, does he run hard. He bounces off guys all over the place. He keeps plays going. He's elusive. He's got quickness. He's got a really great cutback ability. Again, just from a standpoint of, wow, this offense is really fun when it is clicking with all the different weapons and what this kid can do. It was fun to watch. I will tell you, again, I think in terms of storylines, I guess, you know, I like Dabo Swinney, but Ed Orgeron, cool. He won a national title. For some of you, like, the only thing you might know about Ed Orgeron, oh, yeah, he was in Blindside. He was He was at Ole Miss. He had a speaking role in Blindside. You know, he's been around forever. He's been a head coach before. I think when you hear people talk about him, everybody seems to say he's one of, like, the nicest guys in the business. Everybody knows about his voice. I can't do an Ed Orgeron impersonation, but, you know, it's that deep, throaty voice and that twang, the delivery. Can you do it? I can't do it.
I think I need a little practice to do it.
Yeah, you might have to gargle with, like, you know, acidic water or something. I don't know. It's like, I can't even try. I'm not even – I stick to – you know, Randy Macho Man Savage, and that's pretty much it. But
still waiting for that, by the way.
Yeah, well, like I said, I got to get in the right mood. So it's nice to see him win a national championship and for Louisiana. He talked a lot about how much it meant to the state. And so that was pretty cool. I will also tell you, did you do the MegaCast experience?
I honestly didn't do any of that. I just watched the highlights this morning.
You know what this? You see what I deal with people? Yeah, that's right. Sure, I forgot. Etienne, the kid from Clemson. He's somebody tweeted about he'd be a great 1-2 punch with Singletary. Love Etienne. He's a tremendous running back as well. No kidding. But I hadn't been thinking about running backs in the draft. The MegaCast. So I watched that. It's a very good idea. I tried to sample a little bit of everything.
I've watched it in the past. Like last year with the Clemson-Alabama game, I watched it. The year before that, I watched a little bit of it.
I wish they could do that with like every major game. You know, like I mean, it takes, obviously you have to have a family of networks. NBC could pull it off because they have USA and MSNBC and CNBC and all these different things. Fox could probably pull it off with FX and FXX. But it's cool because it's just different things, different ways to see the game. And I wanted to sample a little bit of everything. I love Fowler and Herbstreit. I think that they're one of the best broadcast teams in all of TV sports. But if you flipped around, I'd love to know what you thought about the other stuff. So there were two, I think there were two main channels to watch. Now they have, like the SEC Network had LSU's radio feed. The ACC Network had Clemson's radio feed. And then one of the other ESPN channels had the coaches sitting around the round table. They got the coaches clicker. And that's usually entertaining. It was Mike Gundy, the guy from Oklahoma State, Gary Patterson from TCU. Oh, it's Derek Mason, who I think is at Vandy, and I don't even know where the other guy coaches. Jeff Hafley? I don't even know who it was. Anyway, so they sit around, they watch the game. It's kind of they have an over-the-top camera view from the top of the dome, and they do coaches clicker, and they look back at plays, and it's X's and O's. It's interesting because it's the inside of coaches. They're sitting there looking at coverage before the ball is snapped, predicting. It's like Tony Romo, right? Predicting what's going to happen on each play. And then after the play is done, they'll do analysis and this, and hey, you know, you should try this, you should try that. This is going to be open right here. So that's pretty cool if you're into like X's and O's, coaches clicker, that kind of breakdown, and listening to, you know, guys who have coached against these teams sometimes breaking down the game. I watched a little bit of that. The other thing I think is cool is, but you have to have the right personalities for this, is another channel they had Dan Orlovsky and Pat McAfee. And those guys, they were teamed with ESPN on-air guys, Steve Levy, and I forget who the other guy was. I apologize. So one team is on one sideline. The other two guys are on the other sideline. They all have microphones, and it's just kind of a free-for-all. You know, they just, as the game is going on, it's not your traditional play-by-play color. It's just whatever observations you want to throw in at any point. It's just like you're hanging out with these guys watching the game in a bar. And they'll give you whatever insight they feel is interesting at that time, which I thought was really cool. I ended up watching more of that than I did the coaches channel, because after a while, quite honestly, the coaches channel after a while got annoying, because you got four guys when they're up, you know, in shotgun, whatever, they're waiting for the snap. You got four guys yelling at the screen about what they think is going to happen on the next play. And, you know, whatever. It was sometimes they might have nailed it, sometimes they didn't, but it got really annoying after a while. The guy with Orlovsky and McAfee, I love that. You've got your traditional telecast, okay? Your play-by-play and your color guy, right? In this case, Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit. But get a couple of analysts who've got a good personality, and especially like a guy like McAfee, who's probably a little bit nutsy. But to put those guys on a channel where it's just freeform, and you know they can talk about whatever they want to talk about and not be married to a particular structure to a telecast, like you're going to be on your main game feed, I think that's a brilliant idea. Would love to see if the NFL could do this for their playoffs. And for the Super Bowl, and, you know, maybe it's probably more of a football thing than anything, right? If you're watching the national championship in college basketball, I'm not sure that you necessarily need four coaches and MegaCast and coaches clicker and all the, I think football lends itself to this perfectly. And so I thought that they had a channel with called Data Center with some analytics guy there, and it was starting to make my head hurt. But it was interesting that that feed is there as well. So I thought MegaCast, good job. I need to see that in more football games. Like I said, I think that's not something I would need for baseball or for hockey or for basketball. perfect for the NFL playoffs and the college football playoffs. That is absolutely worth it for ESPN. All right, we got a lot to get to today. The Sabres are playing tonight. Of course, we'll work some Bills into our discussion. We've got the college football playoffs. We've got a whole bunch of other stuff to get to. Big news in baseball with the moves in Houston. Major League Baseball suspending the GM and the manager of the Astros, and then they got fired by the owner. Sounds like Alex Cora might not last much longer in Boston because of the sign-stealing stuff. We'll get to that, too. 803-0550 to join us, or 888-550-2550 this morning. On the show today, Paul Hamilton will be with us at 7:30 because the Sabres play tonight at home against Vegas. That is a 7 o'clock game, and Sabres GM Jason Bottrell scheduled to be on with Shope and the Bulldog at 5:30 this afternoon, so stay tuned for that. We will talk Bills football with Marcel Louis-Jacques, who covers them for ESPN.com. He's going to join us, going to be in studio with us at 9 o'clock this morning. And UB Hoops, they're home tonight as they continue MAC action. Jim Weitzel will join us, their head coach, around 9:30. So that's all coming up on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hypocrite ball players, those guys fought. Character, grit, determination. We took it one game at a time. We wanted the team. Got to give the credit to our coaching staff. Just a tremendous night for the LSU Tigers. Tremendous night for the purple and gold. A tremendous night for the state of Louisiana. We are so proud to represent. I didn't think this was going to happen. I didn't know. I thought when I didn't get the job at USC, I said, hey, you know what? Hey, you might be an assistant the rest of your life. I just love coaching. But everything fell into place. And we just getting started, man. This is not the finish. I want to be here at LSU for a long time and win many a championships at LSU, and this is just the beginning.
That is universally liked Ed Orgeron, right?
That's what I'm saying. I can't do that impression. Can you do an Orgeron?
I mean, everybody can.
I mean, you could try and get the really deep voice. I don't have the twang going, though.
He's like Macho Man in that everybody should at least try it.
Okay.
Go Tigers.
You know, like, everybody tries it.
As Randy,
no Bills.
As the late Randy Macho Man Savage pretending to be Ed Orgeron?
If you wanted to.
I'd have to go
that's
to get
pretty
into
far.
That.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool when he sent out the video with him saying, go Bills.
Yeah, yeah, for Tre'Davious White.
Yes.
Yeah. Ed Orgeron, national champ, LSU. They win it 42-25. Got dicey for a minute there. Clemson scored and got to within three. And then the way that I like it if I'm a football team, you know, you're not counting on holding them off. It's, all right, they're close. Pedal to the metal. Score more points. Make it so they can't come back. 42-25.
I forgot to mention, I think when they were down 17-7, LSU in the first half, it's the first time all season they were down by double digits in any game at any point.
It's funny about expectation and being down points. I wasn't here yesterday, so I have a few things to tell you about the Kansas City game. Anyway, Joe Burrow, 463, 5 touchdowns, and 60 touchdown passes is an FBS record. So LSU beats Clemson. LSU 7 wins against top 10 teams in their first title since 2007. The Sabres are home tonight for Las Vegas. Jason Bottrell supposed to be on the show, scheduled to be on with Shope and the Bulldog at 5:30. The Leafs defenseman Morgan Riley is out 8 weeks after a fractured foot. Zach Cassian, a 2-game suspension for his role in the Matthew Tkachuk dust-up, that whole thing. NHL Combine will be here in Buffalo yet again through 2022. Major League Baseball suspends Astros GM Jeff Lunau and manager A.J. Hinch for the sign-stealing fiasco, the whole organized plot. They've both been fired, though, so what does the suspension really mean? It means if they get hired, yeah, then they're suspended.
I assume that, right, it just stays active if someone brings them in.
And Trey White named to the All-NFL team by the Pro Football Writers Association. Those are your sports headlines.
I was going to open the show with the Syracuse win over Virginia the other day, but I wanted to wait till you came in.
Yeah, oh, thank you, thank you. Right after I said they're going to have their worst season in forever to a few friends, they go out and get a good win, but I'm sure they'll lose to, I don't know, Wake Forest next week, if they play Wake Forest.
They'll lose to North Carolina when North Carolina's having its worst year ever.
Well, it's a battle for who can have the worst season, Syracuse or North Carolina. Other headline. T. Higgins, drafted by the Bills. He's already here. I got him last night.
Done? Okay.
Yeah, I called dibs, so we got T. Higgins.
Is he the third receiver off the board?
I don't know.
You thinking? Because I saw a note today. Someone, again, of the million things we see on the internet, someone had tweeted during the game last night, you know, put T. Higgins in that class with Jerry Jeudy and who's the other guy?
CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb. Hopefully Higgins is on the board when the Bills pick at 22. He is a big target. He looks like a guy who, when he's covered, can still be open, you know, can make the contested catch for you. I thought LSU did a really good job against him last night, but you could see the size factor, and he's a guy who can get down the sideline.
I'd say this. Think back to the last draft like this, with it was chock full of receivers, right? Sammy goes fourth. Was he definitely the top receiver? Because Mike Evans is in that class going back. I mean, I loved Evans. Odell Beckham was a little bit of a surprise at number 12. You have just so many receivers. Brandon Cooks is in that first round. Kelvin Benjamin. I mean, he had a big year at Florida State, of course. Marquise Lee is in the second round. Mm-hmm. So anytime you do this, like trying to figure out the order that they're going to go in is really tough just because how many teams need receivers and are the tiers all the same? I'm thinking back to Troy Williamson. What year was he drafted? Like 2000?
Minnesota?
Yeah, Minnesota. Right? Yeah. Was a bit of a seventh overall pick. What? Yeah. Oh, Troy Williamson. Okay, we didn't have him as the top receiver on the board. So, you know, I think the way to approach it if you are a Bills fan that wants a receiver is to acknowledge that sometimes you just there's going to be a name. Somebody throws Laviska Shenault Jr. from Colorado, and he goes sixth ahead of Jerry Jeudy, even though everyone says, oh my goodness, Jerry Judy's definitely number one. So I don't know where he ends up going, but I'd take him.
Troy Williamson went in 2005.
2005 draft. Okay, who's the next receiver that went?
Let me double check.
He was
here.
The first receiver off the board that year?
By the way, you can tell Brayton's been preparing for Guess the Prospect. He knew that. Yeah, he had that ready.
That's good. I forgot. Yeah.
So Braylon Edwards went as the first wide receiver to Cleveland at number three.
Okay.
Troy Williamson was the next receiver, and then the next receiver after that? Mike Williams.
Wow. See, that's, I think, a good example. Mike Williams, big program, big name. Which Mike Williams? Not USC. USC?
USC.
10th. He went 10th to the Lions. See, I've been getting ready for it, too. So Braylon Edwards, Michigan. Mike Williams, USC. And then Troy Williamson, who was probably supposed to be a first-round receiver, because sneaks up into that top 10, gets to 7th overall. The Raiders, right? Darius Heyward-Bey. He kind of just showed up that one year
because they like their speed guys.
Yeah.
So he moves up.
So it's so much is going to happen. We were joking last night. You know, he wanted to drop. You know, just go ahead and throw a joint in his car, and maybe maybe he'll drop
his draft stock down.
Give him some Laramie Tunsil, and he'll drop. Mm-hmm. And Justin Jefferson last night made a couple of nice plays. I was watching the game, and there's a play where Burrow threw a pass over the middle to Justin Jefferson. The pass goes just off his hands, and I could picture a few fans watching being like, doesn't have good enough hands.
Yeah.
You know, like
right,
one.
It's like, right, he got both hands up, and it kind of went through over
it was
off
a little,
the tops.
A little high in the pass, but, you know, I could just picture people taking him. I'd take him off the board.
No, this is my favorite phrase when we get into draft time.
Not on my board?
No. My favorite phrase. Go watch his fill-in-the-blank game. Go watch the Oklahoma game if you want to see Justin Jefferson at his at a crazy good level. He was phenomenal in that game. He could not be stopped.
Yeah.
Last night, they just, you know, the Chase kid was getting a lot of the big plays.
He
they
was.
Liked the matchup they were having. And there weren't a lot of targets for Jefferson, but, man, he was a beast in the semifinal game.
And T. Higgins, you know, it's not just about the 6'4 receiver. It's about the, to me, the end around will impress more people.
Reverse, yeah.
Or the, the reverse. He makes guys miss. He outruns guys. He trucks another, he trucks a defensive back. Just the idea of having a receiver that is big and fast and can, I don't know, I don't say be a punishing runner. How many times is that ever going to happen in his career? But he's a big guy, but he's also maybe a yards after catch guy, especially because he's fast enough and strong enough. So, yeah, I mean, if I'm picking today, I'm happy as I could be with T. Higgins.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought.
I just need to know what jersey number he's going to wear so I can go ahead and order it.
What does he wear? 5, right? Was it? Yeah, that's his jersey.
So he won't be allowed to wear that.
Okay.
So 15?
Well, we're already planning what jersey?
That's what I need to know in order to order it.
Does he have to have a 5 in it? Maybe 85 will be available.
Maybe he doesn't like 5 and he had to take it because somebody else had the number he likes.
Could be. That's right. Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, great game, and those receivers, I think they showed out. Chase was really impressive. And, I mean, Burrow's accuracy. Holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow.
Right.
The guy can throw.
I think, you know, in terms of watching his games, like that's why I said the first quarter as it opened up was shocking because that is not Joe Burrow. And he looked rattled. He was missing guys, and it just – he's running for his life. They're pressuring. They're blitzing. And it was just – it was so – unlike LSU, because this kid has great touch. And he shows, you know, tremendous poise in the pocket. And, you know, you could just see, and, you know, he, by the way, the kid, like, he doesn't get excited. Like, he doesn't smile.
Bro.
He doesn't jump around. He has a touchdown drive. The only thing I saw towards the end of the game at some point after one of the, he was pointing to his ring finger at the end of the, that's the only noticeable reaction I saw from him about anything. He goes out. He does his business on the field. They get a touchdown. He goes to the sideline. He pops the headset on, talks to the guy upstairs, and gets ready for the next drive. Very businesslike.
I guarantee when the draft gets right into the meat of it and the combine happens and the meetings and this, you know, Burrow's probably going to go to Cincinnati. So not that many teams are going to have to be able to or going to want to talk about him or going to need to. But I predict you hear the word swagger used an awful lot.
Yeah.
He's the kind of guy, he's not overly showy about it, but this kid's got swagger.
Right.
He knows he's good.
Yeah, so swagger's good as opposed to cockiness. I'm trying to think, is cockiness more of a negative?
But depends.
He definitely believes in himself and believes in his team, and he's confident that he can beat anybody who's out there.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, you know, in terms of handling the pressure, handling the spotlight, the big games he has won, you know, the game with Alabama, the semifinal against Oklahoma, this game for the national championship, he can handle. And the SEC title game, he can handle the pressure situations, and nothing seems to get to this kid. Now, granted, that's, you know, it's college football. We'll see what happens when he gets to the pros. But among the things I really love about him is that he's unflappable, and he just seems to be able, the pressure that comes with being the quarterback, this kid eats all that stuff up, and he does throw a really nice football. He's got, he can throw the ball downfield, but he's got touch to drop things in when guys are covered tightly. It's one of the most enjoyable football seasons in terms of watching one team that I could
LSU.
Recall.
Yeah.
I said, I was trying to think Chip Kelly's Oregon teams and maybe Baker Mayfield's Oklahoma teams. Like a single season with just an offense to behold and watching this group make plays all season long. This is one of the best ever.
Yeah. And, of course, Coach O.
Right.
Universally liked.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I mean, it's, you know, but it's a guy who's, quote, paid his dues and has been around the sport forever. And, you know, I thought you played the clip that when he didn't get the USC job, he was, right, I think, interim coach there, and he didn't get the job, and he thought he might never have a shot to be head coach again. Lo and behold, when he was hired, when they said the job was his at LSU, that didn't go over well.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not, the fan base was not exactly yelling and screaming and celebrating and throwing a parade when they announced Ed Orgeron as head coach because his head coaching career is so-so. So I feel not that I don't know that he was looking for vindication, but it's nice to see a guy like that in a high profile job, right? Saban won a title there. Miles won a title there. It's a tough spot to be in. And it's nice to see him to be able to make a name for himself and accomplish something like this because he is so well-liked among his peers.
Yeah. Well, good for him. Guy from, it is funny how it all works out. A guy from Louisiana wins for LSU in New Orleans.
Louisiana. Yeah.
And then Joe Burrow, who's from Ohio, is going to end up with the Cincinnati Bengals. So right. I've got like nice little regional stories.
I assume
there.
The Bengals are going to draft him, right?
I would imagine, yeah. You've got to.
Wait. What if they go with the other Ohio guy? Was it the kid from Ohio State, Chase Young? Chase Young. No, I'm kidding.
They could if they wanted to re-up on Dalton, but I just think you don't pass this opportunity up.
No, I would think, especially, not that it would, but it is an Ohio kid. But yeah, I would think Cincinnati would take him. Again, there's so much to like about his game based on what you saw at LSU that I think if the Bengals passed in him, they would be, I guess the word would be crazy. 803-0550 to join us. Maybe you caught some of the game last night. Share your thoughts on the receivers if you were watching them. Do a little scouting for your beloved Buffalo Bills. 888-550-2550. Roast tickets are available at WGR550.com. We have our celebrity roast of Eric Wood coming up on Thursday, February 27th. We've announced a couple of roasters that are going to be there. Richie Incognito, of course, former Bills offensive lineman. And Brian Brum, who was here briefly as a quarterback, but was a teammate of Eric Woods in college at the University of Louisville. So they're going to be there roasting. We'll have more names that we're going to announce, but we can tell you right now, you can go get your tickets to make sure you're there. The roast is always a great event. It is a night filled with laughter and fantastic stories and a lot of fun. So if you've been there, you know, right? So come on back. If you've never been to a roast, but you've heard us talk about them in the past and how much fun it is, go this year. Take a Bills fan friend of yours, WGR550.com, to purchase your tickets, whether it's a general admission ticket you're looking for or the Pella VIP ticket so you can meet all the celebrities before the event begins. Those are both available. The Celebrity Roast of Eric Wood, did I tell you when it was? Thursday, February 27th, Buffalo River Works, presented by Liberty Cab, Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino and by Pella Windows and Doors, with support from Bud Light. Country Suite, it's all about the sauce. Dr. Beyer Optical Group, for a look that's on fire, call Dr. Beyer, and by Rachel's Mediterranean Grill.
Don't miss color analyst Rob Ray, the former Sabre, takes you inside the locker room when he joins Shope and the Bulldog game days at 4 p.m. on the home of the Buffalo Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Good. I don't know what else to say. I mean, there's been so many people that have come into this, from people that have helped me along my journey from Ohio, Louisiana, everywhere. And we couldn't have done it with a better group of guys. Not just football players, but great, great men that I just feel blessed to be a part of this.
That is Joe Burrow, a national champion after an unbelievable season. An FBS record, 60 touchdown passes. Not in all in last night's game, just so you know. He had five last night. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. We missed you yesterday because you're the one who usually brings up Oscar nominees when they come out.
Oh, yeah. And Knives
and
Out.
Brayden and I had to talk about it.
Knives Out did not get nominated.
I like that movie.
It should have been nominated.
It did not. You know what? I didn't think about that yesterday. Because I've seen two of the movies and have two on my list of I have to go see those movies.
What did I see?
What did you bring up the list?
For Best Picture. I did not see Joker. I guess I have to see it because it had 11 nominations.
You'll go see that, right? See, I'm not going to touch that movie.
Maybe I'll see it. I never felt a real big push to do it, but I guess I will.
You're going
right.
to see 1917, right?
Yes,
that was on the list.
I will see that. All right, best picture. Ford v Ferrari. I do want to see that.
Is that still in the theater? I don't know. I wanted to see that, and I think I was worried I missed the opportunity.
Marriage Story. My wife watched it. I didn't, so that means I'm off the hook.
Brayton signed off on that one.
I have seen it, yes. It's the only one I've seen of the list there.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I've heard mixed reviews on. Some very glowing. Others didn't like it at all.
It was, for me, remember, I'm a very plain dude, you know, but it was strange, but it was well done.
Okay.
I think you would like it. And not that I know you that well, but I'm going to say I think you would like it. It's an interesting movie. The concept is really good. As Brayton pointed out, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Some of the scenes drag.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, okay, let's move the story along a little bit, and it's a really interesting ending.
Are we talking about The Irishman? Or are we talking
No,
I'm kidding.
Yeah, but that was good, too. Well, that's obviously a long movie. But no, I think you would like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay.
And like we went, my wife and Jonathan went, and Jonathan didn't understand some of it because he didn't know all the backstory of what, you know, the Manson stuff and everything. You would know the backstory, so I think it would make the movie enjoyable for you. Anyway, go see it. It's a good movie. And I always like Brad Pitt.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'll see a few of those. But I would say Knives Out's the best movie I've seen this year so far. I probably didn't see that many movies. Now that the sports calendar kind of shifts, it becomes a little bit more...
A little more time?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I was trying to think of one to see this weekend because, Saturday, Friday, I mean, things are kind of quiet. There's a Sabre game Saturday night, and then we don't have any playoff games until Sunday for the NFL.
Well, maybe I'll talk about this a little bit more later. From the Sunday games, the Saturday-Sunday NFL games, divisional.
I was going to ask you about that.
Divisional
next.
Playoff. You know, when it comes to gambling on sports, some people love futures bets. Some love taking underdogs. Some love betting football. Some love betting basketball. You know, whatever. I'm telling you, the place to live for gambling as we all get to it is live wagering. Because betting Kansas City down 24 was obviously a good idea.
Right.
Like,
freak things were happening tonight.
That's
the
whole
quarter.
Thing. Right. For anyone to say you can't believe that Houston blew that lead.
Yes, you can.
The lead was a fluke lead.
Right.
You knew it.
Drop passes, a block punt, a muffed punt return.
You
freaky,
knew it.
Stupid
like,
things
let me see.
Were happening.
This is the best offense on the field. They're now going to play like they got a score on every possession, and they're at home, and this has been fluky. And if you think back to last year, the Chiefs were terrible for 2.5, 3 quarters against the Patriots and then scored 31 points. So live gambling is where it's at. On the flip side, Baltimore and Tennessee, you know, you can see values and decide for yourself. But when I think I saw somebody post, maybe Travis Yost said this, that when Kansas City was down 24, they were plus 900 on the money line. Basically, your whatever you bet, multiply by 9, that's what you won. Flip that to Tennessee and Baltimore, which I actually I did get on this one. Tennessee's up 14-0 in that game, and it was even money.
Really?
Even money. The Ravens were still even money to win, basically making the spread 14 points.
Wow.
So in that spot, I threw a little bit on.
Why not?
I mean, Tennessee is – they are actually good. I didn't think that was all that fluky.
No, and I don't know how much – did you think their defense was going to play that badly the rest of the game with 14 points that it would be that big a difference?
Right. I mean, it's gambling, so maybe you lose, but live – I'm telling you, live wagering. Last night when it's Clemson up double digits,
yeah,
like, wait a minute,
7,
this is 60-touchdown Joe Burrow?
Right.
If I can get value here, I'm going to do that.
Well, we would have won the Tennessee game, right? We said – I think I went 50-50. We said take Tennessee in the points. What was the spread? 9.5?
It was huge.
I thought their defense would do enough to keep it a close game. I think I lost the Seattle game. I was pretty confident the Seahawks, if not win outright, were going to get would cover, you know, the 4 points would be enough for them, and it wasn't. They lose up by 5, as it turns out. So I kind of went 50-50 there. I was going to get some of your thoughts on the divisional round.
I've got some thoughts.
803-0550 if you're just joining us this morning. 888-550-2550. We will have Paul Hamilton with us at 7:30 in the next hour. We'll get you ready for tonight's hockey game. The Sabres are hosting the Vegas Golden Knights. That's at 7 o'clock. Our coverage starts at 6 with the Paul William Belts pregame show and Sabres GM Jason Bottrell scheduled to be with Shope and the Bulldog at 5:30 as well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.